This is WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 FM. Welcome to the Nutrition Transition, part of the Healthy Planet Radio. I'm your host, Robin Kennel. The Nutrition Transition Radio Show focuses on healthy lifestyle and dietary changes that anyone can easily transition into. We have an exciting show for you tonight. We are going to focus on how to eat like an athlete. If you don't consider yourself an athlete, don't worry. This show is also for the weekend warrior, or for anyone who would like to start working out. So, without further ado, let's begin. Many athletes are looking to gain a competitive edge. When you have done everything you can do physically, it's only natural to look at what you're putting into your body to see if you're doing everything you can nutritionally. Whether you are an athlete or someone who is just looking to get into better shape, the foods you eat can be a big part of your success. The saying, "abs are made in the kitchen," couldn't be more accurate. Our food choices play a huge role in the composition of our bodies and our physical abilities, which is why many athletes and health enthusiasts have been turning to a plant-based diet. Many top professional athletes have been thriving on a plant-based diet. To name a few, there's American Olympic weightlifter Kendrick Ferris, Australian Olympic sprinter Morgan Mitchell, American endurance athlete Rich Roll, American Olympic cyclist Dotsy Bosch, German strongman Patrick Baboumian, and one look at him will break every stereotype you have about veganism. And there are about a dozen or more football players for the Tennessee Titans, started and led by Derek Morgan and his wife, Chef Charity Morgan. Athletes are finding that the recovery time after strenuous workouts or competitions is much faster on a plant-based diet. Faster recovery means you can train harder, more frequently. The result is improved athletic performance. Plant-based diets can also help by lowering body fat and promoting leaner body composition, increasing endurance by improving glycogen storage in muscle cells through a higher concentration of carbohydrates found in whole grains, legumes, fruits, and root vegetables, increasing blood flow to the body's tissues, reducing oxidative damage by combating free radicals with antioxidant-rich fruits and vegetables, decreasing inflammation and speeding the body's recovery after intense training, protecting the heart from certain risk factors like high blood pressure and cholesterol for safer competition. With all this being said, I would finally like to introduce my guest, Gabrielle Bolin. Gabrielle Bolin is a personal trainer, health coach, ultra runner, triathlete, and the lead cycling instructor at Cycle Bar Garden City. By looking at her athletic accomplishments, you would never guess that just 2 years ago, she struggled to run more than a few miles without experiencing knee and back pain, shortness of breath, and extreme fatigue. Now, even with teaching upwards of 10 cycling classes a week, training for marathons, and maintaining a weightlifting regimen, Gabrielle manages to stay healthy, free of injuries, and in peak physical condition by adhering to a plant-based diet. As a personal trainer and health coach, she serves as a prime example to her clients of how crucial diet is for optimizing health and wellness. She has helped transform the bodies and lives of so many through her own example. Gabrielle serves as the very definition of how diet impacts lifestyle, and she is living proof that no goal is out of reach when you take care of your body in the best way possible. Thank you for being here, Gabrielle Bolin.
Yeah, thank you for having me. You make me sound so official.
Yes, I have a lot of questions for you tonight. I know a lot of our listeners want to know. I want to start by asking, were you always into health and fitness?
So I love this question because the simple answer is absolutely not even a little bit. I was not an athlete growing up. I really didn't play sports past the age of like 6 or 7. I wasn't interested in working out in college. It really wasn't until I got to my mid-20s that I started looking to fitness as a way to look better. I wasn't happy with the way that I was looking in my clothing, what I saw in the mirror. So I kind of went to fitness almost as a punishment for what I was eating. And I had a really unhealthy relationship with working out. So eventually I stopped. I hated it. And at some point, I started looking at ways to make myself just feel better emotionally. And exercise seemed like the best way to do it. And it changed my life immediately.
So that's what probably inspired you to become a personal trainer?
Yeah, yeah. So I was actually working for a restaurant corporation as a training manager. So I was training the managers of the individual restaurants and how to run their stores. And a lot of my managers were like high school dropouts, kids who really didn't have a lot of education, who were just trying to like feed their families or what have you. And I loved helping them feel accomplished and like they could do something and be a part of society and, you know, earn a good living. But I didn't like the restaurant industry. So I kind of figured, how can I marry my love of training people and helping people succeed and my love of fitness? And it just seemed like the perfect marriage of the two.
Yeah, absolutely. So I feel like a lot of personal trainers probably have a really good diet, right? They're probably eating really healthy foods. What were you eating when you first started out?
Yeah, that's quite the misconception, unfortunately, because I was eating like most personal trainers. I was eating way too much protein. I was eating these processed whey protein bars that if I were to guess where they were made, I would probably picture, you know, scientists in lab coats, tremendous amounts of fat, and just nothing that really served of any nutritional value to me other than this idea that if I ate enough protein, I would somehow magically have the body that I wanted.
Oh, very cool. When did you decide to transition into a plant-based diet? What inspired that?
Oh, well, funny you should ask. So I went to visit my best friend. I think you might know her. She is you. And I was talking to you about how I was happy with where I was going in my fitness goals and the way that I was looking, the way that I was feeling, but that I was still experiencing not just some physical ailments like knee issues, back issues, my cardiovascular endurance wasn't where I wanted it to be, but also that I still had like 5 or 6 pounds that I really couldn't lose, mm-hmm. regardless of the fact that I was working out probably more than I had ever been working out in my entire life. And you had mentioned to me that a plant-based diet might be helpful, and my immediate reaction was no. I tried that in college to lose weight, and it didn't work for me. And of course, in college, I was eating French fries and Oreos, and then wondering why I couldn't lose any weight, and said, "Ugh, this plant-based thing, you know, this vegan thing isn't for me." But you kind of got me on the right track, and we did a 30-day program, and I haven't looked back since. I mean, it was just, it changed my life.
So for our listeners out there that might not be aware of what a plant-based diet is, can you explain what foods that includes and maybe what foods that excludes?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, the definition of a plant-based diet is going to be a diet made up primarily, if not totally, of fruits, vegetables, legumes, and whole grains. So my primary sources of food, I don't really venture out from, you know, the kind of same thing every day. That's just sort of the easiest way for me to get by. I eat a lot of oatmeal. I eat a lot of raw vegetables, a lot of steamed vegetables, lots of beans, tofu, potatoes, and brown rice. That's kind of my staple. So whether it's meat, dairy, anything of that source, I just completely stay away from. Eggs, all of that.
So that sounds like a lot of carbohydrates. So was that something that you were scared about eating, considering you just told me you were into high protein foods, protein bars, and now you're swapping those protein bars for fruit and potatoes?
100%. So my biggest fear in life at the time was a banana. I was so afraid of eating bananas because they're so high in carbs and the carbs were going to make me fat. And as soon as I changed my diet and I kind of let go of this high protein misconception and started eating more carbohydrates, the weight really just fell off. And not only that, but the inflammation I was experiencing in my body completely went away. So as far as I'm concerned, give me all of the carbohydrates. It's the only thing that has really worked for me.
Well, okay, good, because I wanted to get into this. So did you notice any big changes in your performance? I know that you're a trainer, you're an athlete, you were cycling a lot, you taught a lot of cycling classes. So after switching your diet, what differences did you see?
Yeah, so I think the biggest and the most eye-opening difference for me, at the time I was teaching 2 cycling classes a week. I taught a class on Wednesday night, and then I taught a class on Thursday morning. And by Thursday night, my knees were super swollen. I had to ice them down. I was taking ibuprofen by the handful to deal with these knee issues. And as soon as I had been plant-based for maybe 2 weeks, the issues completely went away. And not only was I teaching my 2 classes, but I was running more, which I had not done at all because of the knee issues. Mm-hmm. And then I started increasing my class load. I was teaching 4, 5, 6 classes, and I never had the knee problems ever again. The back issues that I experienced where I sort of was hunching from the top of my spine because I had pain in the muscles in between like all of the, you know, my shoulder blades and stuff, all of it just completely went away. And I was experiencing bloating that I honestly, I guess, was so normal to me at the time that I didn't even realize that I was experiencing it. That all went away. It was just unbelievable. I felt like a new person, and the limitations that I once had about what I could and couldn't do physically were just gone.
Now, going back to your goal of losing that 5 to 6 pounds, those stubborn pounds that you wanted to lose, did that finally come off?
It did. It did. And it stayed off, which was really fabulous because I could get it off prior to being on a plant-based diet, but it would just come back immediately. It was sort of like if I lost it for a day or two, as soon as I went back to normal, it would come back. And not only did I shed it, but I shed it for good, which was phenomenal.
Were there any challenges? I mean, this is a new way of eating, right? This is uncommon for many people, excluding things like animal products like meat and poultry, fish, eggs, dairy. That's a new way of eating, right? So what challenges did you face changing your diet?
So I would say probably the most challenging, not misconception, but the most challenging thing for me was the way that other people were viewing how I was eating. So to go home to my family and say, oh, I'm not eating meat or dairy anymore, you know, I'm not eating eggs anymore, they kind of looked at me like, you're doing something so extreme, like that's so crazy, you can't live that way. And that kind of reframed how I was looking at it. And I started thinking, oh my God, am I doing something extreme? Like, am I going to be able to sustain this? Is this normal? And when that finally kind of went away, when I had been doing it for about a week, 2 weeks, and it just kind of became the norm, I realized how easy it really was. You know, maybe at first going out to a restaurant was a little challenging, or figuring out a way that I could make what my family was eating, but without the animal products. Once I nailed all those things, it was like nothing. So I think the biggest challenge initially was the misconception that it was going to be difficult to maintain.
So now that you're seeing these big results, right, you're cycling, you know, 5 to 10 times a week, you're running more, and you're training clients at the same time, they're probably asking, they probably see the difference in you, and they're probably asking, what changed? Are you counseling them differently now that you have this new lifestyle change?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, I think I started to realize that I had come from a place of coaching people to exercise, and that exercise was going to be the primary way to change your body. And I kind of started to realize that as wonderful as exercise is and as important as it is to change the composition of your body, when it comes to real lasting weight loss, it had to come from the diet. That's where it really needed to originate. So I started to put more of a focus on that. Like, yeah, maybe we're working out really hard and you're sweating and you're burning calories, but what are you eating when I leave? What's your refuel after the training session is done? Because that's really the difference. And that really helped me get results for my clients immediately.
So some of them actually tried the diet?
Some of them did. Some of them did not. Don't get me wrong. But some of them really did. And the funny thing is that I started to, you know, now that I look back on it, the clients who really saw the results, who are still with me to this day, who still call me for advice and ask me questions, they're the ones who switched. And the people who were not interested, who thought I was crazy, who weren't interested in even attempting a plant-based diet or leaning toward a more plant-based diet, I don't train them anymore. They didn't see the results. And so they either stopped training or they went with a different trainer or they, you know, joined a gym or what have you, but they definitely did not see the results and the relationship kind of didn't work out.
So what kind of training do you do with clients? Are you working in a gym? Like, what kind of training do you do?
So I travel to my clients. I train them at home. And the reason for that is twofold. First of all, I felt like I could do more when I wasn't under the umbrella of a gym, when I didn't have like a routine that I needed to follow or someone's kind of guide that I needed to stick with, because I did have my own sort of idea of what I should be doing and how I wanted to train. And the other reason is that I was really interested in working primarily with women who maybe felt uncomfortable going to a gym.
Good point.
Because I know when I first started out, I felt super uncomfortable going to a gym. So I wanted to kind of take them in maybe their living room or their garage where they felt like they had privacy and they could, you know, do their best. And so that's how I really counsel people, which is great because it's being in close quarters to someone, you can kind of get a feel for how they live their life and what they're eating and, you know, what are they doing after their training session or before their training session.
You brought up women, and here's a question that I get from a lot of women, actually. Will you get bulky if you start lifting heavy weights?
I love this question. So I get this question a lot, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I always like to say, asking if lifting heavy is going to make you bulky like a female bodybuilder is like me going to my hairdresser and saying, if you color my hair, are people going to mistake me for a supermodel? Because it is absolutely so difficult to get that kind of physique. So the short answer is no. Okay. And the reason behind that is because, number one, women really don't have enough testosterone to support that level of muscle mass. And the second reason is that it just takes a lot of work. That is an extremely low-calorie diet. It's a lot of weightlifting and remaining in that split session. And it's just, it's such an amazing accomplishment that thinking, working with a personal trainer 3 to 4 times a week for, you know, 30 to 60 minutes at a clip is definitely not the way to get that. Lifting heavy will increase your muscle tone, but not to a point of looking, you know, like a physique sort of female bodybuilder.
All right, on to the next question. So, so many people that lift weights that want to get muscle, they want to build it. They all talk about protein. Now, you're on a plant-based diet, which excludes meat and chicken and milk and eggs, a big protein source in the standard American diet. Are you getting enough protein on your diet?
Thank you for your concern. I am. And I'm very happy with my protein levels. One thing that I didn't know when I began this sort of lifestyle change is that protein isn't a food group. And that kind of blew my mind. And it's still to this day, like it sometimes it takes a little bit of framing to explain that to people. You know, we think of chicken as protein, but chicken also contains fat and to a certain extent carbohydrates. Like there's a little bit of macronutrients or of each macronutrient in every food source that we eat. So I am getting enough protein even from things like, you know, not just beans and tofu and stuff, but, you know, potatoes and other things that I eat, brown rice, oatmeal, stuff that I eat on a daily basis. And what I have found is that I feel lighter and less bloated, and my meals are much more easy to digest now that I'm on a very normal level of protein versus an extremely high amount of protein. But I've never had an issue with protein deficiency or anything like that, and I actually don't know anybody who has.
Right, and you make a good point, and a lot of people, I don't think, consider that their protein choices also have some negative effects to it, right? So a lot of the proteins like chicken or meat or eggs or milk, they come with saturated fat. And when we eat protein sources that come from plants, what do they come with? They come with fiber.
Right.
They come with other nutrients in there. You can't really find a good plant-based protein that has negative effects on your health. And that's something that we should really focus on. So what are your favorites then? What are your favorite protein sources?
So I'm definitely a tofu girl. Yeah. I love making my tofu. I love having tofu tacos. I could eat tofu all day. I also love beans, and I love things like hummus. I love making chickpea cookies. Like anything that I can throw beans into, I will absolutely do. But besides that, I love oats and brown rice and potatoes and those sort of what I would have previously considered to be a carbohydrate and like a scary, you know, I need to limit that is one of my favorite protein sources.
Now, tofu could be intimidating. So did you grow up eating tofu?
Absolutely not. And my parents would laugh if they heard that comment or that question, rather. So my dad is actually a chef. My dad is an Italian chef, stereotypical pounds of cheese on everything. Everything is fried in oil and, you know, served with a side of pasta in garlic and oil. And tofu was kind of like a foreign substance for us growing up. And I think that perhaps the reason is that the only experience that we sort of had with tofu was at a Japanese restaurant where it was silken and very soft, and that sort of texture, almost like mushroomy, was not something that we really enjoyed. So to this day, I will make tofu and I will press it and make it very firm and marinated and then grill it or what have you and serve it, and my parents would still look at me like I was crazy. But no, tofu isn't something that I grew up with. It's actually something that I learned to enjoy. And it kind of took a little while. Like it was trial and error to get it to be cooked the way that I enjoyed it. But once I did, like, forget it. It was a love at first bite.
I mentioned tofu and people cringe, and I let them know you just have to have it prepared the right way.
It's the same thing as anything, right? Like if you were served a piece of boiled chicken as a child, even if chicken nuggets or what have you was normal to you, you would have cringed because it wasn't cooked the way that you wanted it to be. But once you figure out how you enjoy it, it's not so scary anymore.
I completely agree. So, on a plant-based diet, there are no dairy sources. Are you worried about getting enough calcium?
No, I'm not. And I laugh because I don't think that I ever in my life would have thought, you know, gee, gosh, am I getting enough calcium? But, you know, going on this diet and hearing the people ask the questions and, you know, no one is concerned about your calcium intake until you explain to them that you're on a plant-based diet. And then everyone is concerned. No, I eat lots of leafy greens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't show any symptoms of not having enough calcium. I just think that there's so many plant sources with these natural vitamins and minerals that aren't like fortified or added in after the fact. And, you know, anything that is served to us or sold to us without a label, I think people get a little nervous. Like, you know, if this kale doesn't have a nutrition label on it, how will I know if I'm getting the calcium? And mm-hmm. it's almost like, you know, because it doesn't need the label.
Right. And now they do have, if you need to fortify, right? We have different plant milks out there that have calcium in it as well. They even put calcium in orange juice these days.
Yeah.
So I think we're good on that, right?
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Is it possible? This is a good one here. Is it possible to be plant-based and still eat unhealthy? I've heard of some people on a plant-based diet that still are eating things like Oreos and things like that. Is there a difference between a plant-based diet and possibly a whole food plant-based diet?
Absolutely. So this is definitely one of those questions that I ask myself every so often when the slippery slope of, you know, eating those sort of comfort foods comes in. Yeah, I think that plant-based and vegan are maybe like these big umbrellas that lots of different foods fall under. Like I mentioned earlier, in college, my sort of weight loss, one of my many weight loss sort of quick fixes was, oh, I'm going to go vegan and eat French fries and Oreos and drink beer. And, you know, that's not necessarily the healthiest or a healthy way of eating at all. But a whole foods plant-based diet kind of lends itself to being much more natural, much more high in fiber, much lower in calories and fat content, and it makes all the difference. I definitely find sometimes I will counsel people and say, you know, wait, I want you to stay away from meat and dairy and eggs, and, you know, I hesitate to use any scary, in air quotes, kind of words like vegan or anything like that is going to make someone feel as though they're not capable. Or like it's too big of an ask. And oftentimes those people will say, oh, I got the best dairy-free ice cream. And I'm like, oh, that's not what I meant. So it's definitely a humongous distinction, that whole foods plant-based versus like vegan plant-based.
Right, right. Because there's many mock or faux meats out there now that kind of replicate that same flavor and taste and texture. And we can kind of get hooked on those foods too as plant-based eaters because they do not contain any animal products. But they are showing that those foods are still high in fat and salt. They're not healthy for us either. So I guess those kinds of foods I think are good for transitioning, right? It's like when in the beginning, when you're starting out, did you utilize those foods to kind of get that same taste?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. You know, it's only natural to go to the grocery store and say, okay, well, if I normally get sliced turkey, you know, deli turkey for a sandwich, what am I going to do now? All right, let me get this sort of faux plant-based turkey to substitute, which is phenomenal and it's a great resource, but ultimately equally as unhealthy, just maybe in a different way. But yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with those things for an initial transition. But if the goal is whole food plant-based and we're staying away from processed things, even if it's a plant-based processed food, it's still processed at the end of the day.
So when did you decide that after you started feeling so good, you were running more, you were exercising more, when did it get into the extremes of marathons and ultra-marathons? When did that happen for you?
God, you know, I think that there was such a difference in how I felt, not just physically, but emotionally, that feeling like I could do things. I mean, the first time I ran a half marathon, I felt like I had accomplished something that I never in my wildest dreams could have done. And that sort of led to, okay, well, if I can do that, I bet I could do a full marathon. And then once I did a full marathon, it was like, right now I'm going to do it faster. And then I'm going to do an ultra marathon and I'm going to do a triathlon and all these things. And it wasn't necessarily because I felt like I wanted the medal or that I wanted to be able to say that I did it, but because I could not believe that I, you know, someone who just shortly before wasn't able to, you know, teach two back-to-back cycling classes without having extreme health issues, that I could do it. And just the thought of making myself proud and doing these things that once upon a time seemed unrealistic, it was just, it changed who I was, like just the very fiber of who I was. And I just couldn't stop, and I wanted to do more. And in a lot of ways, as a trainer and a health coach, I wanted to show my clients, like, I am not, and I still don't define myself really as an athlete. I define myself as someone who pushes the limits and is just kind of like a regular person who is just not okay with mediocrity. And if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Right. If a few years prior you were doing a 5K, which is three miles, right?
Struggling through a 5K.
And now you're doing an ultra marathon. You did a 31 miler recently. Yeah. That's 10 times longer than a 5K.
Yeah.
And before you would have swollen knees after a 5K. Now you can get back on the bike the next day and teach your class.
24 hours after an ultra marathon, I was back on the bike feeling good. Wow. And so if I can do that, then you can run a 5K and then you can run a 10K and you can run a half marathon. It's just... it really is just about how you take care of yourself and honestly how you think about your abilities and how you think about your abilities changes how you take care of yourself. And you know, it just all stems from kind of the same place, which is if you value your body and you value how you care for yourself, you're going to be able to do things that, you know, previously seemed just absolutely unrealistic.
All right. So I remember when I was training back for my first marathon years ago, I gained weight during my training. So I ask you, since you're a personal trainer and you have some understanding of health and nutrition, is it possible to out-exercise a bad diet?
I wish. I wish with every fiber of my being, but no, it is not. A lot of my clients have this obsession with how many calories did I burn? How many calories did I burn? And I hate that. And I hate it because when you know the truth, it can be extremely depressing because you're rarely burning as many calories as you think you are. I mean, even running a marathon, right? 26.2 miles, I burn maybe 2,000 calories, maybe 2,100. And if 3,500 calories is 1 pound, running a marathon, I haven't even burned a pound. Like, it's just, the math just isn't in our favor. So when I think about the average person working out for maybe 45 to 60 minutes a day, probably taking a break here and there, maybe not doing purely cardio, certainly not purely like high intensity cardio, we're just not burning as much as we think. And so this misconception about, okay, I just had this great workout, now I'm going to go grab, you know, an ice cream sundae because I earned it. It's just not at all the case. We're not burning nearly as much as we think. And this sort of, you know, and I'm guilty of it too, don't get me wrong, but this sort of Fitbit culture of like, I'm going to press start on my watch and then it's going to tell me I burned 900 calories, then I'm going to go get a pint of Ben and Jerry's. It's dangerous and I hate it. And I wish that we could work out just because it made us feel good and not think about the calories in, calories out concept, because it's just... There's an industry out there that's making a lot of money off of telling us that we're doing a lot more than we actually are, and
right.
I hate it.
And after, let's say, someone runs a 5K, 3 miles, they burn maybe 300 calories, they get their bagel and schmear afterwards, back on it goes, right?
Yeah.
If not more.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So how many calories, then, is someone burning in a 45-minute cycling class? An average person that comes to your class, what are they burning?
So I guess it really depends on how hard they're working, but let's say on average, if you're doing everything that I ask you to do at the average resistance for the average amount of time, you're probably walking out with between 300 and 400 calories burned, which is awesome. I mean, that's a good accomplishment, and you probably enjoyed yourself while you were doing it. You probably feel that you've relieved some stress. So it's absolutely beneficial, but it is certainly in no way allowing you any sort of extra wiggle room in your diet, especially when we stop thinking about calories and we start thinking about health. You know, burning 300 to 400 calories in 45 minutes doesn't mean that you're not going to be susceptible to, you know, heart disease from eating a bacon cheeseburger, even if you feel like you've burned enough calories to enjoy it.
Right. You got lucky because you started eating healthier and figuring out how to work out at a young age. If someone is older, if any of our listeners are older out there, can they still start now? Is it too late? What should they do?
Oh, it's never too late. Never, ever too late. So I think anyone who doesn't have any sort of background in exercise or healthy eating needs to start with the basics, right? Fruits, vegetables, whole grains. Even if you're not going immediately to a purely plant-based diet, any step in the right direction is helpful. And just moving your body more, whether it's going for a walk around the block, taking the stairs instead of the escalator, you know, whatever it may be. As much as I just said I hate this Fitbit culture, I do love counting steps. 10,000 steps a day, that's a big goal, but it's doable for anybody. Just the little things to kind of get moving. Any step in the right direction is a good step.
Can they start running? Could they be a marathoner?
Oh, yeah, what's absolutely possible? I mean, I'm a firm believer in hit up that plant-based diet and then see how wonderfully you can run. But, you know, definitely, like, set a goal. Start with a 5K. Go for a walk around the block today. Jog it next week and then see where you can go. But I truly believe that the diet is just the biggest factor in all that stuff.
Do you think it's more important to work out in the morning or night, or does it really matter?
So I get that question a lot too. You know, what's the right time? And honestly, whatever works with your schedule. The best time is the time that you can make work on a consistent basis. Anyone who thinks that they need to wake up early up, you know, in the morning to work out and can't seem to get out of bed is never going to get fit. Whereas someone who maybe can do Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the morning and Tuesday, Thursday in the evening because that's what works for them, they're the ones who are going to be consistent and they're the ones that are going to see the results. So really, it's just whatever you can work into your schedule.
If someone can't make it out to the gym, are there some easy things that someone can do in their own home with just, you know, either their body weight or just things around the house?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that one of the best ways to kind of kickstart the like at-home fitness journey, you know, I think a lot of people are guilty of kind of sitting on the couch all night watching TV, you know, just like letting the hours kind of float by after a long day of work. The commercials are such a good time to kind of get up and do things. So whether it's doing squats over the couch or getting down on the ground and doing some crunches or some push-ups, you know, everyone kind of starts at different levels, but you've got a solid 5 to 6 minutes that you can kind of just dedicate to a workout or some semblance of a workout. And then once that timer is up and the TV show comes back on, you can kind of take your break.
Awesome. How long do you recommend someone works out for and how many days per week? Is there a recommendation that you go off of?
It really, again, you know, there are definitely some trainers who would answer you and say, you know, 3 to 5 times a week for 30 to 45 minutes. That has never been how I operate because I am such a stickler for consistency. So I tell my clients all the time, if there's one day that you can only work out for 10 minutes, better to do that 10 minutes than to not do it at all. And sometimes I think we fall into the trap of all or nothing. You know, I definitely think that finding time to sweat at least once a day is optimal. And whether that is going for a walk around the block or going for a 20-mile run, you know, whatever that is for you, just making the time. But any time that I've presented someone with a schedule, they're probably going to, at some point or another, not be able to stick with it for, you know, whatever reason, whether they're busy or they have work or whatever. And that sort of feeling of failure will totally derail a program. Whereas if the idea is as often as you possibly can without the sort of strict, you know, do this and succeed or do that and fail, they're probably more likely to stay with it. Mm-hmm. So any whatever you can make work.
I heard a good saying once, and maybe you agree with this. I've heard that the best exercise someone can do is the one that they will do.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%. I hear it all the time. You know, oh, I hate to run, but I love bike riding. Is that okay? I'm like, yes. Whatever it is that's going to get you excited about, you know, getting your heart rate up and moving your body in space. That is the best thing for you to do.
Right. So if someone hates running, there's no need to torture them and make them enjoy running. We're not all the same.
Yeah.
Someone might love riding bikes, swimming, lifting weights, but something just to get them started, right, is what you would recommend?
Absolutely. Yeah. It almost doesn't matter what it is as long as you're excited about it.
Right. So there's a lot of questions about weight loss and either lifting weights and doing more strength training or doing more cardio. Can you tell us a little bit about which one burns more calories, if we should do one more than the other? Are they both equally important? What do you think about that?
Yeah, so it really all depends on your goals, right? If you are somebody who has a lot of weight to lose or a lot of body fat to lose, I always recommend that we begin with a cardio program. And that's because we need to reduce the body fat before we can really attempt to grow the muscle tissue. Mm-hmm. So sometimes kind of going back to that, am I going to bulk up with heavy weightlifting sort of question? If we've got a lot of adipose tissue, a lot of body fat on the muscle fibers and the bones, and then we increase the size of the muscle, you're going to increase the size of the person, right? Whereas if we increase the muscle fiber, but we also shrink the body fat, we're going to see that sort of toned and defined look that we want. So if you've got a lot of weight to lose, I always recommend beginning with a cardio program. If you maybe don't have a lot of weight to lose, or you're looking to bulk up, you know, as far as like men love that big sort of look, then we want to start with the weightlifting. So it really kind of depends on where you are and what you're looking for. Cardio is going to burn more calories. Cardio is going to definitely help shrink the size of the fat cells. But you can be a smaller version of you and still sort of be you know, what they might call like flabby, or, you know, not looking toned and defined. So weightlifting is going to be what kind of makes you a little bit more solid, have that sort of like toned, fit look. So it everyone kind of needs a combination of the two. It's just a matter of what stage you're at in your fitness journey.
So I mentioned in the intro that abs are made in the kitchen. So can you kind of explain what I'm talking about when I say something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if I were to give you a program, right, and you asked me for six-pack abs, and I said, okay, I want you to do 3 hours of crunches every single day, and you did 3 hours of crunches every single day, and you were still not eating healthfully or within a good caloric limit for yourself, you could do crunches for 6, 7, 8, 9 hours a day and still not have the look that you want. Because again, if we're not decreasing the amount of fat on the body, it doesn't matter how big the muscle is. You're not going to be able to see it. So abs are made in the kitchen is sort of this idea that you want to have that defined look. You need to reduce the amount of fat that you carry on your abdomen. And really the only way to do it is to make sure that you're eating correctly and with few, you know, not so few, but a low enough amount of calories that you're not increasing your body fat percentage.
So we might all have abs underneath. We just need to lose maybe a little bit more body fat.
Absolutely.
And then they will show.
Yeah. I've got plenty of proof of that. Even in myself, you know, nobody is perfect. And when I find myself sort of going down that path of, you know, I'm going to treat myself, or I'm going to have this dessert or that, or it's somebody's birthday or what have you, and I kind of go down that sort of Oreo, French fry, vegan, you know, path, the definition in my stomach is completely different than it is when I'm eating properly and with no change in my exercise regimen at all.
Okay. So on a plant-based diet, are you focusing more so on carbohydrates, proteins? Are you eating tons of fats? Do you think about macronutrients at all?
That's an interesting question. I think to a certain extent, I think about macronutrients because I'm always sort of helping other people sort of navigate the world of macronutrients, especially those people who are still a little nervous about eating large amounts of carbohydrates. But for my own personal nutrition, I really don't. I definitely don't eat a lot of fats. I love a good avocado. I love hummus. But other than that, I'm really not consuming a lot. I do my very best to stay away from oil. So I don't really have a lot of opportunity to eat a lot of fat.
Why would you say that you don't eat a lot of fat? Is there anything wrong with us eating a lot of fat?
I would say, you know, of course, your unsaturated fat is the healthy fat in quotes, right? So health-wise, there's maybe not a humongous reason to stay away from them. But anytime you're looking at your fitness and your weight, you want to stay away from fat because it's just significantly higher in calories per gram, 9 calories per gram versus 4 for a carbohydrate or a protein. So for me, trying to stay within a decent calorie range and not gain any weight or body fat, I want to limit, you know, my avocados, my nut butters, oils, things like that.
So if you didn't use oil how would you saute something? Let's say you want to make some sauteed spinach. What would you do?
I love sauteing in vegetable broth. Mm-hmm. Not only because it's lower in calories and fat, obviously, but it's just so delicious.
Yeah, it is. You can saute pretty much anything in vegetable broth, yeah. Right? Or I guess baking, or I don't know if you have a air fryer yet, but those are a great way to fry without oil.
I love my air fryer.
Right.
Love my air fryer.
Very useful.
Yeah.
Can you give everybody kind of a visual of what you would eat in a day? And if you can tell us maybe an average workout that you do throughout the day as well. So it's just breakfast, any planned workouts, any cycling classes that you might teach, lunch, snacks, dinner.
Yeah, absolutely. So it really all depends on the day. Sometimes I teach my classes in the morning. Sometimes I teach them at night. And my meals sort of revolve around when I'm teaching because I don't want to be teaching on a full stomach, just like nobody wants to work out on a full stomach. So if I'm teaching in the evening, let's say, I love my oatmeal for breakfast. And I will eat oats and almond milk with a little bit of powdered peanut butter, maybe a banana and some raisins in there. So again, very high carbohydrate sort of beginning to my day. I will probably strength train or run depending upon what I'm training for. If I have a race coming up, I'm much more likely to be running. Whereas if I'm just kind of focused on keeping my fitness level where it is or improving my fitness level, I'm tending to lift heavier weights. I really don't do a lot of snacking throughout the day, mainly because I'm very busy. And I definitely find that keeping myself occupied is a great way to avoid snacking because I am at my core a snacker. For lunch, I'm quick and easy. Like, I don't love to cook. I'm sorry, Dad. I really want to kind of just, like, you know, stop what I'm doing, eat something. I think about eating like putting gas in my car, right? I'm not interested in putting gas in my car every 6 miles. I want to fill up the tank and move on. So for lunch, I'll do a frozen bag of vegetables, a single serving of brown rice in the little, like, microwave cups. Maybe like a little bit of hummus mixed in there. And that's my lunch. It's so high in fiber that I'm full. I'm good to go. Maybe before my cycling class in the evening, I'll have a banana or, you know, maybe like a spoonful of peanut butter if I'm really feeling like I'm living on the edge. And then I'm good. And the thing that I've found is that when I'm eating foods that are high in fiber, it really does feel like I'm filling up the tank once, and then I have enough energy to sustain me. I'm not hungry, so I'm not thinking about snacking. And I can just kind of go about my day without that constant, like, oh, I'm hungry, I need to stop and eat. And, you know, I think once you get into athletics, eating is a very cumbersome task because when you're in the process of digestion, you really can't work out without kind of feeling nauseous, and that is really just the worst. So I try to time my meals properly and make sure that I have enough time to digest and then be sustained for long enough that I can get my workouts in.
Awesome. So Gabby, now you are an accomplished marathoner. You're an ultra marathoner. You're a triathlete. You are the lead cycling instructor at CycleBar. You are an in-home personal trainer. What's next for you?
Oh, gosh. Well, what a fun question. You know, I have, and I hate to say this out loud because then people know when I have to commit to it, but I will. I definitely have dreams of accomplishing an Ironman. And again, I feel like if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I want to be sort of that, like, average, you know, that regular girl who did it. So I would love to do that. But, you know, I have so many other things. There's a 100-mile race in Miami of next year, the Florida Keys 100, that you and I are going to be accomplishing together. And, you know, everything kind of, you know, has to fall into place, right? I can't be focusing on an Ironman competition if we're going to be running 100 miles. So once I kind of check that off my bucket list, maybe I'll look to longer triathlons and longer distance multi-sport races. But for now, I'm ready to say that I ran 100 miles, you know?
It's going to be a huge, huge accomplishment, yeah. Right? All right. So Gabby, any last advice that you can share, for anyone that just wants to, I guess, find more information on how to start a plant-based diet. Do you have resources out there, or do you recommend any websites or documentaries, books that someone might read to kind of learn a little bit more about plant-based eating?
Yeah, absolutely. So the three best resources for me and for my clients, the Rich Roll podcast. Rich Roll is an incredible human being as an athlete, as a supporter of plant-based eating, and just improving the lives of everyone that he touches, you know, in one way or another. Fantastic. What the Health. What a great documentary. What an amazing look at all of the benefits of plant-based eating. And of course, the Nutrition Transition book that you and I authored together, which sort of offers that 4-week transition from the standard American diet to a plant-based diet without that scary cold turkey, you know, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and change everything about my entire life sort of stigma attached to it. So I think those three things are what have helped me help so many other people kind of get into this lifestyle.
So if anybody wants to reach out to you, can they follow you on Instagram? Can they shoot you an email to possibly have you train them? Or can they attend one of your cycling classes?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm all about Instagram. I'm probably on Instagram way more than I'd care to admit. And I am at FitByGab. My website is fitbygab.com. There are plenty of opportunities to contact me on there, whether it's about nutrition or training or just general questions. And then I am at Cycle Bar Garden City 7 days a week. So there are always opportunities to come and take my class. I love to talk to people afterward. Any questions that you have, whether it's about cycling, nutrition, anything, it's kind of my favorite way to get to know people and to help people get to know me and my story. So those are awesome ways to reach out to me.
If someone's new to cycling, would they be intimidated by coming to one of your classes?
I hope not. Yeah, I mean, of course, they can be a little intimidating, but my favorite thing about it is that when the lights are low and the music is up, you're sort of in your own zone, and anybody can do a 45-minute cycling class. I have clients who cycle with me who are all different shapes and sizes and at different stages of their fitness journey, and everyone can be successful. I think that you just kind of have to take the leap. And it's always rewarding when you do.
Gabby, thank you so much for being the very first interview for the Nutrition Transition. And I'm really excited to tell everyone that you will be joining me in our future shows. It'll be me and you interviewing so many awesome people in the plant-based community and learning great things about exercise, about healthy eating and healthy living. So I'm just so, so happy that you could share with everyone all your tips and tricks and that I actually get to partner up with you in the future episodes.
Yeah, I am so excited. I have so many just like really awesome ideas and so many people that I want to talk to. And I'm really excited to kind of spread the word about this lifestyle and the things that you and I have experienced both as athletes and people interested in health and fitness and just kind of getting people away from, you know, the freaking protein thing that I'm sure you experience as much as I do.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all the listeners out there, a little bit about myself. I'm a registered dietitian. So I met Gabby a few years ago, and we were coworkers back in the day, and we actually reconnected later on. And she became a personal trainer. I finally became a registered dietitian, and it was just a perfect match. And when we both started hanging out together, we started to eat similarly. We started to work out. We found out that we have a lot of things in common, and we both want to help people eat healthier and help people work out. So this fit just kind of came along. It was kind of meant to be.
Yeah, it really feels that way. And I think one of my favorite things about our friendship is that we have grown so much together and just learned from one another. And I mean, you single-handedly changed my life in bringing me toward this plant-based lifestyle. And I'm just really excited to kind of share that with other people. I think that a lot of people know logically that this is the healthiest and the best way to eat and to fuel their bodies. But so many people think that it's such a difficult thing, or that it's got, you know, all these complications, that it's not sustainable. And so to kind of be living, breathing proof that it is easy and sustainable, and to show so many other people who are thriving in the same way, I think we can really help some people make real significant lasting changes. And it's kind of like a pay it forward thing. You know, I really believe that.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been eating plant-based for a few years now, and it was nice to kind of help you along on your journey to give me that confidence to help other people out there, because I really do believe that plant-based is the way that we can feel healthier, prevent disease, reverse disease. And it really helped me become more confident when speaking with my clients every day about switching to a plant-based diet. And I use it all the time in my counseling, and I have huge results. So thank you for letting me have you as kind of a guinea pig and helping me learn how to best coach somebody through this.
Oh my God, of course. How many people would you say that you have transitioned to a plant-based diet at this point?
I would say I get probably close to 50 people close to plant-based, but I would say 100%, probably around 20 people have like completely committed to it, feel fantastic. But I always tell everyone, even if you can't go 100%, it's very, very important that you just get closer to that 100%. If you want to go plant-based 60%, 70% of the time, your health is going to be much better than it was previously on the standard American diet.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think some people have an all or nothing mentality, and that can be really detrimental.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to let people know, you know, there's no shame in taking your time and going at your own pace, because I can't say that the second I started eating plant-based that I was 100% whole foods and ate everything clean and, you know, didn't eat a lot of processed foods. I ate some comfort foods that happened to be plant-based that weren't necessarily healthy, just to remind me of my old eating habits. But it took a few years to finally get to where I am at. So I'm always so happy to help people transition and to hopefully help them get to where I am a lot quicker. Because, you know, had to, you know, teach myself and watch a bunch of YouTube videos and follow a bunch of doctor's advice, but it's so nice when I meet somebody to kind of help them along so they don't have to, I guess, dig for all the research themselves.
Yeah. And I love that too, because I think it really is a transition. It's always a transition. You know, I tell people all the time that we are searching for finish lines with our goals, but there kind of isn't a finish line, right? Like it's always on to the next thing and trying to be better and to do better and to hit the next big mark and to move up. And it's kind of like that with our nutrition too. Like you can be doing wonderfully, but there's always some way to be 1% better, 1% healthier, 1% smarter with what you're doing. And I think that we, to some people, may have hit the finish line, but you know, you and I both know there's plenty of room for improvement always.
Always. And I think that's what nutrition transition is all about. We are all transitioning in some way in our lives to eat healthier, if that is our end game. I look forward to interviewing so many awesome, inspiring plant-based eaters or people that are proving themselves in the community as athletes or as role models or, you know, doctors, nurses, everyone that's pretty much paving the way for us to live this way and to be as healthy as possible. So I'm excited to see what kind of wonderful guests we get on our show and to share it with all of you out there.
Yes, and I am excited to be part of it. So thank you for having me. Thank you for inviting me on this journey. And look out, world, because here we come and we got plants.
Yes, and yeah, Gabby's definitely bringing some sass and she's bringing some of her fitness knowledge. And I think that having, you know, registered dietitian and a personal trainer, I think that's a super awesome combination. We look forward to answering so many questions about health and fitness as a whole. And I think that just having our brains together will definitely help answer a lot of questions that people are having of, you know, how to lose weight and keep it off, because so many people come at it either with just working out or just eating healthy. And I think having us together is really going to be a strong, strong team.
It is the dream team.
It is the dream team. So anything else you want to say, Gabby, about our future show or anything else for our audience?
I would just love to say, if you have questions, if you have topics that you want covered, if you have rumors that you've heard that you want to debunk or suggestions that you need for anything, to reach out to us. Instagram is a great way to get in touch with both of us. We will be coming up with better ways for you to reach out to us directly so that we can answer your questions and we can cover your topics, but definitely start to brainstorm them, keep them coming. And we are here to help you.
Thank you, Gabby, for that. That's a great point that you make. Because sometimes, you know, I'm not sure what everybody wants to hear. I know things that I'm interested in and things that I know people around me are interested in. But as a whole, I would love to hear some suggestions of things that maybe I didn't think about, that maybe you were curious about, that I, you know, had no idea. So I would love for your questions to roll in and for Gabby and I to sit together and figure out some awesome answers to give you and some solutions to all of your problems.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So Gabby, thanks again so, so much for being our very first interview for the show. I'm sure everyone learned so much today about exercise and about transitioning their diets. And I'm looking forward to moving forward with you.
Me too, girl.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a great night and we'll see you next time.